To begin the show, a programming note. The show you are about to hear was originally scheduled to be broadcast yesterday on Thursday. The show that was intended for Friday, today, will be broadcast immediately following this show during the Dankoff Report time slot. The Dankoff Report will be back again next week at its regularly scheduled time. And welcome. Exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the sunny yet chilly morning of free speech. You know, sometimes when you've been like hitchhiking all night and then you crash behind a dumpster thing and then you wake up and it's chilly, but it's sunny and you can walk out in the sun. And our society has become very chilly. It's very frigid. It's not good for us. But there is still the sunshine of free speech. It's free speech. And that will warm your bones and perhaps show us the way. Okay, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage or a check, a mail order, or well-concealed cash in an envelope addressed to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Rock, Texas, 78664. Okay, today we have Philbert with us. Philbert, welcome to the show.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I'm glad to be here.
Howdy indeed. So, Philbert, I hear you got a new phone.
Yeah, I got one. AMD Google phones. It's a custom phone. Sourced by, the parts were sourced by a dude that sells these, an Asian bro. He's a Filipino guy at a YouTube channel, and anybody that is interested should look it up. It's a special phone that Google, it doesn't have a Google ID.
Okay, so this Asian bro, is he located in the United States?
Yeah, he also has a sailboat channel. So I believe he's in L.A. He's in the Southern California area. He's in the L.A. Matters, but anyway, he has a company.
What is it like having a de-Google phone?
Well, no Google apps will work. So if you don't want Google to spy on you, real fast, you start to learn all the things that on day-to-day life that normal people rely upon Google for, which is things like downloading your apps. You don't use the Google Store. You can download something on Android called an APK file. Since Android is a version of Linux, which is open source, you can download a file, you know, independently from the Google Store that will download or that will install any kind of app on your phone, and you can find what's called the APK file, usually on the developer's official website. Like, say you want to download Telegram uncensored. If you download that from the Google Play Store, you're not going to be able to get some of the people that I listen to and some of the people I think, you know, are valuable to listen to, such as there's a guy named Brandon Martinez I like to listen to, and Christopher Cantwell is on Telegram.
That's a familiar name. What do we know Brandon Martinez from?
Well, he's just a podcaster, and he does Omegle videos where you ever seen those videos where you talk to strangers from your webcam briefly?
Well, I mean, I'm a little bit familiar with it because a few years back, a friend of mine sent me a video of Catboy Cammy, who was just doing funny performance art type of stuff in such a format. So that's about my only familiarity with it.
Yeah, well, he did a lot of videos like that, and some of them are pretty funny. And from that, some of those took off. So this was a while back, but this is a guy that just does streamers. He's a streamer. And anyway, just somebody I like to listen to. And what I was getting at is you're not going to be able to listen to people like this if you download Telegram from the Google Store, because there were a few Jewish liars that sued Telegram for you know, allowing such racist people on their platform. So they're still on the platform, but Google has thus been able to censor them. So what I'm getting at is this is one of the benefits you have from not having a Google phone. Nothing is censored since there's no Google. Well, at least there's no censorship from Google is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so there's a censorship issue. What about your own privacy? What about your own anonymity? Because, you know, we've all had the experience where, well, maybe we do a search for something, or maybe we, maybe you do a search for something, and the next thing you know, you've got an ad popping up in your email for that exact thing, or even maybe your wife just sent you a shopping list by text. And the next thing you know, you're getting ads for those items on, your whatever on your browser, all sorts of, or even sometimes I hear people tell me that they're talking about something and the next thing they know, they're seeing ads for it. What about that kind of security?
Right. Here's a funny thing anybody can do. Pull up a line and pull up, say, a foreign movie. It doesn't have any foreign language in your mother tongue, right? And put your phone next to the speaker, whatever language they're speaking, and then see if you get advertisements in that language. It's kind of a fun little... No, I haven't, but I've seen videos of people doing that and then them getting, say, like I said, advertisements in that language. I don't know if that's fake or not, but... Yeah, I am going to try that someday. But yeah, so what you just described is doesn't really have a lot to do with censorship, but yeah, it's almost more scary than censorship, right? You're tracked.
Fine.
So you're tracked, and then the data on you is sold. And another thing about Google is they use this data. They don't just sell it and, oh, that's the end of the story, right? It's archived, and then you could say used against you. You're put in a cohort. You're put in a category with others, right? Depending upon what your Google searches reveal about you, right? Say I go to google.com and I look up adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine, right? Real plain English. Of course, they're going to pop up all the benefits of getting this, you know, nasty AIDS vaccine, you know, that we all know what Google's going to present to us. It's no secret, you know. They're not going to put anything contrary, you know, to the narrative.
Yeah.
So anyway, and when you try to search for something contrary to the narrative, that's logged and recorded, and you could say held against you, right? Because then they know how to target you to try to convince you elsewise. And this is one example of the things that you don't have to deal with and you can thwart when you have a de-Google phone.
So, yeah, I mean, I've had... certainly the experience, if you're searching for anything that might go against the narrative, right, the official narrative, anything that might be beyond the official narrative. And so, for instance, and even not like diametrically opposed, but just potentially. So I can remember trying to look and see what if any differences there were in adverse reactions from the various vaccines, Moderna versus Johnson & Johnson versus Pfizer versus AstraZeneca versus Sputnik versus Sinovac, just trying to look just to see if there's any differentiation. You can't. You cannot do that using Google. You can't do it using Bing. You just get, the same old stuff.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, it doesn't have to be that, but it can be pretty much anything. If you're doing a Google on January 6th or whatever, they're only going, like, if you're looking for that video, the video of Ashley Babbitt being shot, presented from four different angles or whatever, all you're going to get are returns from CNN, from MSNBC. You're just going to get these mainstream media results. So,
right. So a good alternative to this, people may think DuckDuckGo is a popular alternative. I'll tell you, they censor too. You try to look for Dr. Duke on DuckDuckGo and see what comes up first. You know, so real quick, I just want to point out a couple alternatives, true alternatives. One is called StartPage. They're not going to censor as heavy. I don't know if they censor at all. And another one I for sure know that doesn't censor is called Swiss Cows. Well, they do censor. They censor every kind of pornography or any kind of disgusting crap that, you know, a lot of our people aren't interested in. So if you do want to search, a good alternative is StartPage and something called Swiss Cows. That's a true search. It was Google, say, back in the early 2000s when Google actually was a legitimate search site. And a good one, too. It would return the results. That was the whole point behind its popularity, is that it worked.
Mm-hmm. I remember back in the 90s, I'd actually never heard of Google. So I remember, I guess my early internet browsing was through, what was it called? I want to say Lynx.
Yeah,
it was something.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Gopher.
That's a command, but that's.
Yeah, Lynx. Lynx is what? What is Lynx? I can't even remember anymore. Is that a?
It's a Linux command line browser.
Oh,
or it's
right,
not a browser.
Right, okay.
But you can view the internet through a Linux command line.
Right. Yeah. So I used to do that. So I had Lynx. And the email was Pine, was, you know, this was all text only. And I remember talking to other, like, after the internet got going for normies, I remember asking one of my friends, oh, do you have the internet? He says, yeah. Oh yeah, I use Lynx. It's everything but the images, everything but the pictures, because, you know, at that point, most everything was text. This whole multimedia thing. If there was audio or video embedded, it was really, really hard to see anyway. So basically you had pictures and text, and that was kind of multimedia at the beginning. But what I was thinking is Gopher. Have you ever heard of Gopher?
Yeah. What was that? That sounds like something ancient.
Well, okay, so Gopher, it's the University of Minnesota. Their nickname is the Gophers. And, of course, a gopher is somebody who goes for something. But as I recall, Gopher was basically just a giant directory structure. And so it had things cataloged, but in kind of a directory format. I think that's what it was.
So you could do directory transversal attacks pretty easily.
You probably could. And, you know, it was only the thing for, like, a year or two after – it was developed. Then I think the first graphics internet browser, you know, not including Lynx, but the first, I guess your state of the art was Gopher and then Lynx and then Mosaic, which was graphic, where you had the images embedded and stuff. Why am I going here? I don't even remember what
brought me
this walk down memory lane.
You were talking about the transversal.
Oh,
the university
I remember.
You were.
Yeah, well, you had mentioned Google, and so back in the 90s, so then you got Mosaic came out, Netscape, which was another browser, and then search engines. So the next thing, I guess, was search engines. Yahoo wasn't really a search engine, but yeah, Yahoo listed things in directories. It indexed things, and it was just big categories, you know. And so you'd look in sports, and then under sports you could look in baseball, and then under baseball you could look at the St. Louis Cardinals, and under the St. Louis Cardinals you could look at Stan Musial, and that's just how it worked. And then you started getting, so you had that, and that probably started even before these graphic interface browsers. And it was Yahoo. When I started using Yahoo, it wasn't Yahoo.com. It was www.stanford.edu/Akebono, who was a Japanese sumo wrestler, actually a Hawaiian sumo wrestler, /yahoo.html. So that's when I started using it. It didn't even have a domain name yet. It was just some kids at Stanford's website on the Stanford University host. But then you start getting real search engines. Alta Vista was an early one. There was Lycos from Carnegie Mellon University. There was Hotbot. And they all worked as search engines. You'd type in a search, and then you would get relevant results. But then I had a teacher, Jewish, by the way, big surprise there, and he said something about Google, and I'd never heard of Google. And he says, yeah, it's the best because it keeps track of what you're looking for and tries to return relevant results to you. Well, I guess that whole keeping track of what you're looking for, that probably should have been a red flag, don't you think?
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not saying anything, but I guess I didn't know that they do that long ago. I guess they would have. So God help you if you have a, I don't mean to change the subject, but I was just thinking, God help you, my iPhone, they do something called site scanning. Have you ever heard of that?
Site scanning? No.
So Apple does this thing called client-side scanning, and it's where it's a software that Apple has made where it scans your phone for pictures, sees what your pictures are, and it's allegedly looking for underage nudies, I guess. So, and we're supposed to believe that's all it's looking for, right? And it's, oh, like, we're not going to scan your phone, or it only scans your phone for that, right? So the way this works is it will look for a pixel, right? When a machine looks for an image, it's very bad at doing this. That's why when you're verified by saying click on all fire hydrants or click on all bicycles, or it's called a CAPTCHA. You know what I mean? Whenever you log in your email and it says click on all chimneys and it's got a picture of a bridge and you know what
right.
I mean? So
right.
Yeah, machines are actually very bad at picking out photos for one. So there's margin for error, I guess you could say, right? So I could have a picture of a dog and it could mistake that as, you know, something obscene that were illegal. And then I could be flagged and then, you know, investigated for something that, you know, for no reason. So, and that's a good reason not to have Apple. So another, I want to talk about Android too for a minute. You can't turn your location off, right? A lot of people don't know how the GPS on an Android works. So there is, Google owns a patent on the technology of GPS, and it actually doesn't work on your GPS. Yes, phones have a GPS, but a GPS signal would otherwise take three and a half, sometimes 4 minutes to obtain a signal. You ever been in the middle of nowhere and have your GPS on or in the car and it says lost GPS signal, right? Well, you shouldn't. That means you lost a Wi-Fi signal. Your GPS relies on Wi-Fi. So how this works?
Okay, the GPS on your phone relies on Wi-Fi, but the GPS in cars doesn't rely on satellites?
Yes, correct. Yes, and I'm going to explain how this works here. Okay. Google has a patent on how this works. So in your operating system, and you cannot turn this off, this is the main reason why I went with a Google phone, you cannot turn your location off. Google knows where you're at all times, because in your operating system, it's constantly scanning for Wi-Fi networks, and then it tells Google HQ where what Wi-Fi networks are identified around you. You cannot turn this off. It doesn't matter if your Wi-Fi is on or off. It's always scanning and always telling Google the Wi-Fi networks that are around you. Therefore, it's constantly mapping out everything. It knows where you're at, right? So when you turn your location on, it looks at the Wi-Fi around you, and it knows where you're at. It's called SUPL, and Google has a patent on this. So if you're in the, say you're in the desert and you're looking to get a GPS signal and there are no Wi-Fi routers around you, it will take a good 3 or 4 minutes to get your GPS signal hooked up to a satellite, like you had just mentioned, to a car, right? Because cars don't have Wi-Fi, at least older cars.
So now phones also do these other things. So for instance, and I find this really creepy, but at the same time, really well done. C-
consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
So, now phones also do these other things. So, for instance, and I find this really creepy, but at the same time, really well done. So, all of a sudden, I'm looking for something on my phone, and I find a catalog of all these happy pictures of me and my dogs. And it'll say, like, dog days. It'll have a caption, dog days. And I'm looking through, and, you know, it's looked through with artificial intelligence, presumably. It's looked through my my phone photos, including stuff I download, I think, or that other people send me. But it puts together a really fun album and makes it into a video where it's fading from one to another. Really well done. But, you know, it can have other themes. It can have road trip. It can have cars, you know, just different things. And on the one hand, it's really well done, and I can enjoy looking at it, but what an invasion of privacy, right? And, you know, Professor Richard Sloan, who's done Whitey Awards with me and been a guest on my show a couple of times, one of the things he was saying it specifically about Facebook, but it goes way beyond Facebook, is Facebook makes it fun for you to spy on yourself on behalf of the government, the Jews, the establishment. But it makes it fun to spy on yourself, and it is fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. There was a spy, I think it was a Soviet spy, I don't recall the name, but he was saying, like in the 80s, people would have, intelligence agencies would have killed to have these phones, right? It was like a wet dream to have everybody have an electronic device where they can be tracked. And he's like, now people do it willingly, you know?
Exactly. We do it willingly. And it's fun.
You pay for it. Not only is it willingly, but like you shell out money for others to spy on you.
Big money. You shell out big money. People spend it. I'm always amazed. People spend all this money on their phones, and yet they balk at even highly subsidized health insurance. Like, no, at $50 a month, I can't afford that. But yet they might be spending $150 on their phone.
Right.
And then here's another thing, another fun thing. My introduction to computers was largely in the late 80s. And I had experience going back to the early 70s or even before. I mean, I have, my dad was in computers and I went to some sort of computerized school in the early 70s. That was a joke. But, so I have experience going way back. I used to impress people by, if there was, like around the early 1980s, when you first started getting computers in Radio Shack stores or whatever, and they would just be sitting there, and I'd go up and I'd write a program in BASIC where the it would go on a loop with the computer spewing out some sort of obscenity as output, and then I'd walk away, which I thought was pretty funny. But at any rate, I was actually pretty good at programming for a while. I was always behind the times. I was never, you know, when Pascal was already outdated, I was really good at Pascal. I got good at Perl. I don't know if Perl's ever been outdated, but at any rate, on the other hand, the phone thing, I was very reluctant to ever get a cell phone because I didn't want to be tracked. I was paranoid about that. So I was late to get to the whole cell phone thing. I was late to get to the smartphones. And I've never gotten very good at it, but not long ago, I'm looking through my cell phone, and I find that it's keeping records of all my dog walks, everywhere I've been. I mean, not just dog walks, but it knows when I'm in cars, and because, you know, obviously you're going on roads and you're going fast when you're in cars, but, you know, all this stuff from... I can go back and say, okay, December 17th, 2020, where was I? And it'll show me exactly where I was, and it'll show me what trails I was walking on and everything. It's in there. And
don't you like that?
Is it in my phone? Is it in my phone, or is it on here's my question. Is that in my phone, or is that on a server at Google?
Both. If you have an iPhone, it's at Apple HQ. It depends, but yeah, you're correct. A good point.
Yeah, I mean, because that's a fair amount of data. I don't know at what point it maxes out, but that's a fair amount of data mapping all of your movements, you know, and putting time signatures with them, because it's not just where have you been, but what time were you there?
So basically how the privacy game works, in short, is that they, and I'm not sure, it varies from state to state how the actual laws work, but generally the business model goes like this. They generally tell you what they're doing with your data, and they're generally correct, right? They generally don't hide anything from you for legal reasons, because if you were to find something, or a security researcher were to find something that they didn't disclose, you could legally sue them for big money, a lot of money. And they know this. So they have their legal teams all over this, and they pore over this. So they, usually, I've not found a case where they don't disclose this. Usually, if you trail through the terms of service or privacy policy, you'll find everything that they're doing. So, I mean, and a lot of people don't do that, and they obviously don't have time to do this. But I like to do this to see what they're trying to get
away. By a lot of people, you mean...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You'll find everything that they're doing. So, I mean, and a lot of people don't do that, and they obviously don't have time to do this, but I like to do this to see what they're trying to get
away. By a lot of people, you mean virtually everybody. Virtually nobody does.
Right. Correct. Nobody does that. So if you're ever curious, you can go through and look at this. And like I said, it doesn't guarantee that they're not going to hide anything from you, but generally they inform you what they're going to do because of they have the legal side of everything covered. So in Google, they say that you can request for your data to be deleted. But here's my question. How do you know if it's deleted? How do you cross-reference that again? Or what would you cross-reference that against, right? You can't, at least that I know of. So with Apple, I don't know that you can even request your data be deleted. Maybe you can, but I mean, that's something I've always thought about is like, yeah, well, you can request anything. That's all it is a request. It doesn't mean you're going to get, you know, what you requested. So I don't know. It's like, say if, for instance, if you wanted to delete all your data that you had just mentioned, is it really deleted? And is just one copy of it deleted, right? There could be other copies, right? They could say, oh yeah, we deleted it. Just this copy. You never know. These are all reasons to not have a mainstream Apple, especially an Apple phone, but a Google phone isn't much better. They know where you're at all the time. You can't turn it off.
Well, you know, and one of the things is there's such a mismatch of capabilities between you and the company, between you and the provider. So they can, you know, even if they, okay, so on the one hand, we trust them with our data, okay? On the other hand, if we don't trust them and we try to seek its deletion, we still have to trust them that it was deleted.
Exactly. Right? Yes.
So, I mean, I guess the only thing you can do is try to prevent them from getting the data in the first place, which is what you're talking about with these de-Googled phones. But
or just use a computer. Just use a computer for your things. Computers are great because they don't have all the sensors that phones have.
Right. Well, that's a really good point. That's something you can do. I remember 20 years ago or so being in a room with Ralph Nader and a few other people, and he's telling everybody that whenever they sign up for something, read the terms of services. Just read the terms of services and go through it, and if you don't like something, cross it out and write in. And of course, like, Ralph Nader's a lawyer, and also he's a total boomer. And actually, he's a proto boomer because he was born in the 30s. He was born before he's too old to be a boomer. He doesn't have a cell phone. Like, all his books were typed on mechanical typewriters. He doesn't have a computer. He doesn't use any of this stuff. So he's telling people to literally cross things out with a pencil or pen and write it in the margins, the changes that you seek.
Well, we have to print it out nowadays and then do that and then mail it back to him, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we're really stuck. And the fact of the matter is these are hostile entities, right? I mean, Google or Facebook, any of these aren't, is there any way to look at them other than they are hostile entities?
No, that's a good point. As we mentioned earlier, at one point they held a good service and it was beneficial, you know, for the public. That's what got them the platform. And, you know, I would argue that they were the best at it. Referring to Google, they were the best at it. That's why they are where they are. But yet, like so many things, when a edifice is built up, you know, it seems to be taken over by our enemies and weaponized against us as usual. At the very least, we can see this happening. So there's no reason to continue using it. Now, in my view, that's the best way to fight against this. You don't have to completely unplug, but like I said a few minutes ago, just use a computer, right? And your computer doesn't have a Google ID. Even if you log in to your Gmail account, you shouldn't even have a Gmail account, but just if you must, you know, if you have a Gmail, you know, use your browser on a laptop or on a PC. As I just said, they don't have all the sensors that a phone does, and they don't have a Google ID. And Apple has an Apple ID, so don't think you're doing anything different by having an Apple. You're no more special.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're using your desktop, you're using your computer. What's the difference between Gmail and other emails?
Well, you'd have to read the terms of service to find out for sure.
what's in the Google terms of or the Gmail terms of service? What are the things that we're trying to avoid?
You know, honestly, I don't think it really matters. Email in and of itself is really insecure, and you can just about guarantee that intel agencies are not, a human isn't reading your email, but it is recorded and it's probably read through an AI. So email in and of itself is extremely insecure. That's probably a bigger deal than Google in and of itself. So to be fair, there may not be a safe email provider. There's probably not a whole lot of difference. To answer your question, there may not be a whole lot of difference between, say, Google and Yahoo. One thing I do is if you're signing, here's something that you can do, and it's a good privacy strategy technique. There's something called temp mail. Go to Swiss Cows or Start Page and search, temp mail for temporary email. And you can sign up to, you can make accounts and sign up to places using a temporary email, right? Where it'll only hold messages for as long as you have that window open. And then as soon as you sign up, you can remember your login name. And then if you don't need that anymore, you don't need it for multi-factor authentication or anything like that, you can just throw it away. That's something that you can do. That, in my opinion, that's the best way to use email. Get a temporary email address. But as far as the difference between, say, Yahoo or Bing to Google, I don't know that there is any.
So when emails started, my first email account was at my university. And even when I got my first Yahoo account, it was the same way. You were limited to, say, I don't know what it was at first. I remember being limited to, say, 500 kilobytes. I was probably limited to even a lot less than that. And when you think of the metadata that's included in these messages, you know, you were pretty much limited to, at the most, a few hundred messages, and you'd have to keep cleaning out your messages. You might be able to download and save the ones you wanted. And then at some point, maybe 20 years ago or so, maybe a little longer, all of a sudden, I guess storage became cheap enough that they just started offering people unlimited, right? And unlimited storage, you didn't have to go through and clean your emails out. And of course, so the other thing is the emails being free, just like landline phones now that they've become free, you're getting like 90-something% is spam, right? And the whole term spam, that comes from email, right? Because even early on, because email was always free, more or less, even early on, just unwanted mass emails became so common that when you look through your emails, and it was Monty Python nerds created this expression. There was a skit once where people walk into a diner to have breakfast, and they're looking through the various items, and everything was, you know, you can have eggs and spam, you can have cheese and spam, you can have eggs, cheese and spam, you can have cheese, eggs, spam, eggs and spam, and by the end of the menu, it was, you can have spam, 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 and eggs and spam. Oh, I think I'll have that. Okay, but we're out of eggs today. Well, can I have spam instead? Sure. And then the Vikings start singing spam, 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 spam. Well, that's because all of the junk emails became a lot more common than an email from your friend at the other university. That's why we're calling it spam. I don't know. I don't know if that's important or interesting. But,
no, I'm familiar with it. That's hilarious. I love that skit. Who doesn't like a good Monty Python?
It was a fun skit even before the age of the internet. I remember in high school in the 70s, people coming to high school football games dressed as those Vikings and singing spam, 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 spam. I remember that. They did, at least they did at my school. The point I was getting at is both email and landline phones are getting so clogged up with spam and are rarely used for legitimate purposes. Who's even using it anymore? I mean, boomers, who's using landlines and email addresses anymore?
Well, email's still used quite a bit, but yeah, you're right. Landlines have kind of went by the wayside quite a while
ago. I got a landline.
So do you still get charged for long distance?
No.
Okay.
No, and of course, honestly, I don't think so. I wouldn't make a long-distance phone call on my landline. I don't make outgoing calls for my landline. I do use it as a fax, and and the thing is, I've had the same number for 30 years, so what if my long-lost cousin wants to call me, which happens from time to time. Somebody I haven't talked to forever all of a sudden calls me up. But is it really worth spending the extra $30 a month on my Comcast bill or whatever to keep this landline going? Really, it's not. But anyway, it stays going. It's a legitimate business expense because the only legitimate use the only real use I have, the only outgoing calls I make are all faxes, which is business. But even the fax machine, people are out there saying, Lattery's such a boomer, he's sending faxes. And I'm not even sending that many faxes anymore, so maybe it's time to get rid of the thing.
I forgot all about the fax.
Well, I've been doing faxes since about 1990, and it seems like
scanners. Remember those? I remember those
scanners. Oh, I still use scanners. I don't know. Okay, so we've got about another 6 or 7 minutes or so. Where do we go from here? Here's the other thing. Here's the question people have, or the people will give a sigh, throw up their hands and say, oh, well, I mean, it's too late. They've already got all my, information. What's the point of resisting? What would you say to those people?
You can start over. I mean, you're right. And I have a de-Google phone, and like Google still sees it, but it just doesn't have an ID, right? So you could say I'm still being tracked, but they don't know who they're tracking. They don't know that it's me. So they know the old me. Yeah, that's right. But you can always start over. The guy you should get a hold of, or you don't have to get a hold of him. I meant look up. So if you go to, he does have a YouTube channel, and it's actually a pretty good one. His name's Rob Braxman, and he's really good on privacy, and he helps people understand these topics. And I think he explains them way better than I could. And I've learned a lot myself from him. So go to YouTube and look up Rob Braxman. And that's also his company is where I got my phone from. And he doesn't sell a whole lot of them. I'll tell you though, it was $400, right? And I know not everybody can throw around $400 like that. That's understandable, but. I mean, we're comparing this to what a new phone now costs well over $1,000, you know, for a brand new phone, a decent one at least. So look into this. Look up Rob Braxman. You can get de-Googled phones from him. He also offers an email service that he runs from his servers. But anyway, it's one way you can look. It's somebody who offers solutions to these things. Okay?
I'm going to pause for a second. There was something, one other thing I wanted to ask before we were done. I'm going to pause.
I hope people find this interesting.
No, I think it is interesting.
I think so too. I tend to think that like sometimes I'm the only one that gets into this stuff, but it's really important whether you find it interesting or not, really.
I remember. Okay, so last question then. Financially. There's a lot of worry about a digital central bank currency, right? Digital currency, official, the dollar being replaced by a digital currency. Now,
right.
I remember as a little kid back in the 60s and going on vacation, and just going, you know, you go through towns, you go past restaurants and seeing all of the credit card signs in front of the restaurants. This is the 1960s. So when you're on a road trip, you're looking out the window. There was no cell phones. You're just looking out the window. You need something to keep you busy. And I remember just one day, my brother and sister and I were, we're counting the MasterCharge. It was called MasterCharge back then. MasterCharge, Bank AmeriCard, Diners Club, American Express. I think those were the four main ones. And, you know, my one was a MasterCharge, and I'm sure my sister was stuck with like Diners Club or something. But you know, it was a game. You get a point every time you saw one. And so you've had the plastic money, going way back. I don't know when these actually started, but it was the plastic, and it was an analog system. At some point, it got digitalized, and But the thing is, I can look back, and find, from my mom, because I didn't have a credit card in the 80s, but from my mom, everything that she bought with her credit card, it's all records of it, records of this. And so there's decades and decades of records of what, people bought with credit cards. And increasingly people only buy with credit cards to a large extent because nobody wants to carry around cash because you might get robbed by Negroes.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Think of it this way. Like originally when we had real money, it was gold, right? And then the Jews and some other people came along, and said, oh, look, we'll store your gold for you and you can just carry around this paper. Then you won't get robbed of all your gold, right? So that's where
that was before they even had Negroes.
Right. Yeah.
I guess white people could be robbers back then.
I guess you'd get robbed from Muslims. So,
okay.
But yeah, so that's where paper money came from. I mean, in short, it's the history of money is longer than that. But, and so now we have, we still have paper money, right? Well, now, like you had just said, plastic came out, right? And it was like, well, we can put all your money on this plastic. And then whenever you get robbed, you know, by the Negroes, as you pointed out, you won't lose all your cash. So, and we still have plastic. Well, now we're moving to digital gold, or not gold, but digital money or paper notes, whatever you want to call them. And they're, it's going to be like, well, not only can we keep these, but we can keep all the bad people from using them for bad things, right? So we'll just keep all your money, and then we'll be able to use it for the benefit of yourself.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
And they're, it's going to be like, well, not only can we keep these, but we can keep all the bad people from using them for bad things, right? So we'll just keep all your money, and then we'll be able to use it for the benefit of yourself. So it seems like this is sort of an evolutionary, or the evolution of money, if you will, or evolution of currency, I guess. But this is a scary trajectory that we're aiming at.
Well, it's a scary trajectory. Here's really my question, because you hear people saying, and obviously the people who rule over us are nefarious to a large extent and have nefarious intentions to a large extent, and there's every reason to be suspicious of things. Now, we used to talk a lot about cryptocurrency, but here's really the question. People are we'll be talking about the digital currency, and that this is like such a high priority. They want to do this so that they can control all our transactions, so they can, you know, shut us down. And my question is,
you won't be able to buy me.
Well, my question is, do they actually need that new technology when already almost all transactions are going through credit cards? Often, a lot of merchants do not accept cash anyway. So the vast majority of transactions are already going through credit cards. They're already like David Duke or Nick Fuentes or Don Black. I mean, they've had credit cards taken away from them just because they're naughty people. So already, is there anything that they would get from a digital currency that they don't actually have already with, MasterCard and Visa? Because it's not as if MasterCard and Visa aren't going to that they're not in cahoots with the people running us. And the people running us aren't only people in the government. So that's the final question. What do you think?
Yeah, well, they, like you mentioned, Dr. Duke can still get money. There's an organization I buy books from, the National Alliance. I send them cash. They can still get money, you know, and as you correctly pointed out, they are rejected from the monetary system to accept credit cards, you know, and I think if they had their way, they would also not be able to accept cash. And that's one of the reasons why we're seeing a digital dollar. Now, I'll point out real quick, I know we're running out of time, but when you fill out your taxes, the government does not ask you if you have silver or gold or precious metals. At the very beginning, when you get your taxes or your taxes, they ask you if you have any Bitcoin, right? And so they're worried about crypto and Bitcoin. I would say one way to fight this is to get some crypto, get some Bitcoin, and at least learn how that works and at least have it. I know it's expensive. You don't have to buy one Bitcoin. You know, you can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin. So, but look into doing that. That's probably a good way to fight this, at least for now.
All right. Well, it's been very interesting. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be here. And maybe next time we can talk some more about the phones.
We can do that. And I'll be back again next time with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and
stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong.
Put my arms around you, and we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven, just you and me. This feels like heaven.
You're listening to RBN, in defense of the Republic.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.
A programming note.